Well, good morning.
Morning.
It's good to see everyone out this morning, and I encourage you to open your Bibles to Jeremiah 42. That will be, Lord willing, the text of our lesson this morning. We'll be looking in Jeremiah 42 through Jeremiah 44. Be focused, Lord willing, on these particular chapters of the book of Jeremiah. In some ways, to get a full picture of what's going on, you really probably need to review the whole book of Jeremiah. But for our purposes and for our time constraints, we will just go back to chapter 39. In Jeremiah 39, the city of Jerusalem falls. The time is 586 BC. Babylon has put a siege to the city and finally destroyed the city. You can read the account of how that they totally decimate everything within Judah in 2 Kings chapter 25. All of the major important buildings are destroyed, including the temple, which is also plundered. The city wall is broken down and destroyed and not rebuilt until the days of Nehemiah in the 440s BC. And in chapter 39, in verse 10, the Nebuchadnezzar carries away everyone except for the poorest people of the land. Only the poorest people are left in Babylon. Excuse me, in Jerusalem. The rest are carried away to Babylon. In chapter 39, in verses 11 through 14, Nebuchadnezzar gives orders the end of 39 and chapter 40, that if Jeremiah the prophet wants to stay in Jerusalem, he can stay. He can stay or he can go. It's up to him. They are freeing him to make this particular choice. He decides that he will stay in Jerusalem and he will minister to the few people who are left within the land. In chapter 40, in verse 7, Nebuchadnezzar appoints a man by the name of Gedaliah to be the governor of the land of Judah at this particular time. So the few people that are left in the land have a governor. Well, some people don't like the governor in chapter 40 through 41, and so they assassinate him. And so in chapter 42, the remnant that is left, come to Jeremiah with a question. They want to know, Jeremiah, we want you to inquire of the Lord for us. Should we stay here in the land, or should we go down to Egypt to flee from the wrath of Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar already wasn't happy with Judah, and that's the reason he came and destroyed them. And so now we've killed his governor. How will he respond? What should we do? And so they go in Jeremiah 42 in verse 2 and they say, pray to the Lord our God for us. For you see, we are just a remnant. Just a few of us are left. Please pray to God so that he might direct us and tell us the way in which we should walk in verse 3. So Jeremiah says in verse 4, okay, I'm going to do that. And he makes the people a promise. He says, I'm going to tell you everything that the Lord said. I'm not going to hold back anything. I'm going to give you the whole message. Not going to give you just a snippet. Not going to give you a tidbit. I'm going to give you everything that God says. In verse 4, the whole message which the Lord will answer, I will tell you, I will not keep back a word from you. If you flip over to chapter 43 in verse 1, Jeremiah does exactly that. In Jeremiah 43 in verse 1, when the Lord gives him this message, he tells them all of the words of the Lord their God. So he promises the people, I'm going to tell you the whole message of God. And he fulfills his word in 43 in verse 1. The people also make him a promise, though, in chapter 42 in verse 5. And their promise is that we're going to listen to the word of the Lord. In verse 5, may the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us. If we do not act in accordance with the whole message with which the Lord your God will send to us, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, we will listen to the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we are sending you, in order that it may go well with us when we listen to the voice of the Lord our God. So the people, Jeremiah makes the promise, I'm going to give you the whole message. The people make him a promise, we're going to listen to the whole message. Notice in verse 5, they emphasize that same language, listening to the whole message. And whatever it is, we're going to respond to it. And whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, we're going to heed the word of the Lord. And notice they recognize that there is a blessing for those who listen to God's word. Look at the end of verse 6. They're going to listen, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, in order that it may go well with us when we listen to the voice of the Lord our God. They recognize there's a blessing to listening to the voice of the Lord. It may not be easy, it might be unpleasant, but there's still a blessing to be had if we listen to what God has said. Well, if you notice in verse 7, 10 days pass before the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah. I don't know why this particular delay. It is interesting. The people say, we'll listen to God's word no matter what. And God delays in sending his word for 10 days. Perhaps there is more there to think about and to meditate on. But he delays for 10 days. And then the message comes from the Lord. And the message is contained in verses 7 through 22, really throughout the end of the chapter. And God gives the people the alternative of what they are going to choose. He says, first of all, and this is just a summation of the message, you can read more of the details, but he says, if you stay in the land, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you, and you're not going to have to worry about what Nebuchadnezzar is going to do to you. I am going to make it where he is compassionate towards you. But he says, starting in verse 14, if you say no, we shall go up to the land of Egypt because that's a better choice for us. He says, if that's what you do, just know you're going to die by sword, by famine, and by pestilence. Now, in verse 19, he emphasizes that the message is clear. In verse 22, he emphasizes the message is clear. There's no real lack of clarity here. This is a straightforward, simple message. God says, stay in the land. And if you stay in the land, you'll be blessed. If you choose to disobey and go to Egypt, then you're going to experience judgment and wrath of God. Well, Jeremiah speaks all of the words to the people in chapter 43 and verse 1. And the people, as soon as they hear the word, say, well, that's not what God said. They're lying to us. No, we're going down to Egypt anyway. And so they all pack up in chapter 43. And they go down to Egypt in contrary to the word of the Lord. While in Egypt, Jeremiah apparently was forced to go with them to Egypt. While in Egypt, in verse 1, the Lord comes to Jeremiah with a message again in chapter 44 in verse 2, starting in verse 2. And he says, in times past, you served other gods, and currently today, you serve other gods. And one of the reasons that you went into captivity was because you served other gods. And if you keep serving other gods, you're going to experience even a fuller demonstration of my wrath. And he said, you came to Egypt to flee from King Nebuchadnezzar, but I'm going to tell you something. King Nebuchadnezzar is going to set up his throne right here in Egypt, and you're going to have to experience the pain of captivity all over again. In verse 16, the same people back in chapter 42 who said, we're going to listen to the word of the Lord, now say this: as for the message that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we are not going to listen to you. But what we're going to do is we're going to worship the Queen of Heaven. Now, what exact deity the Queen of Heaven was is debated, and it would be fruitless for our time together to guess at that. But it was some type of idol, some type of goddess that they were worshiping. And they were worshiping it as a family. And they said, that's when we stopped worshiping the Queen of Heaven. That's when everything went downhill for us. And so if we get back to worshiping the Queen of Heaven like we should, then she will bless us once more. And the chapter concludes with more words of judgment from Jeremiah. I think this particular story is filled with so many examples, challenges, and illustrations of the way that we as humans sometimes respond to God, what God demands of us, and how we fail in it. So there's a lot of lessons that can be learned here, but I hope just to focus on a couple. One of the things that really, first of all, stands out to me is how the people are driven by fear rather than by faith. God is trying to get the people to live by faith, and yet they're making decisions based upon fear. Why is it when you read Jeremiah 42 through 44 that they want to go down to Egypt? What is driving this particular decision? We see God says in chapter 42, don't go. It's going to be disastrous if you do go. So what is their reasoning? Why are they going to Egypt? Well, first of all, if you look in chapter 42 in verses 10 through 11, they fear the king of Babylon. They fear Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't too happy with them in their continual rebellion against him. He took control over the area around 605 BC. And from that time period, there has been rebellions off and on that he has come to put down until finally in 586 BC, he has absolutely had it and he lays Jerusalem waste. And so you know he's already mad at you, right? If he has to come back again and deal with you, he's going to be even more mad. And so it's probably better if you just flee to Egypt and get out of his way. As a matter of fact, in chapter 43 in verse 3, they specifically say that they're afraid to be handed over to the Chaldeans to either be put to death or to go into exile to Babylon. They are afraid of the king of Babylon. And yet God tells them in verses 10 and 11 of chapter 42, don't be afraid of the king of Babylon, whom you are now fearing. Do not be afraid of him, declares the Lord. Why? Don't live in fear. Live in faith at the end of verse 11. For I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. All throughout the book of Jeremiah, God has been shown to be accurate in His word. All throughout the book of Jeremiah, He says, look, you are going to fall to the king of Babylon because you're not listening to God. And that's exactly what happened. God has shown to be trustworthy. And here He tells the people, have faith. I can deliver you. I can protect you. In verse 11, I will cause Him to show compassion on you and to allow you to continue to live in Jerusalem. Don't be afraid of the king of Babylon. Live in faith that I can take care of you and that I can provide for you and that I can see you through this difficult situation. I appreciated Brother Robin's prayer, which emphasized one of the things he emphasized, we can do nothing without God, but everything with Him. And that's what God is calling the people to do. Live in faith. They're afraid of the king of Babylon, but I tell you, they're also really afraid of not having enough food to eat. If you look in chapter 42 in verse 14, one of the reasons that they want to go to the land of Egypt is so that they will not hear the sound of the trumpet, that's war, and they will not hunger for bread, verse 14. You look down in verse 16 of chapter 42, it says, if you go to Egypt, then it will come about that the sword which you are afraid of will overtake you in the land of Egypt, and the famine about which you are anxious will follow closely after you there in Egypt, and you will die there. They're afraid of not having enough food. When an army comes in to attack a city, it's not just the city that they're going to destroy. They're going to destroy the fields. They're going to take the produce of the crops. They're going to eat those things. They're going to carry those things off back home. They're worried about having enough to eat. They're worried about famine. And so there's going to be plenty of food if they go down to Egypt. And their decision is made in fear that God is not going to be able to provide for them. And God says, if you make your decision in fear and you go down to Egypt in verse 16, you will experience famine. But if you make your decision in faith and you stay in the land, I am more than able to provide for you. The people choose to make their decisions based on fear. And even despite the horrid consequences, they travel down to Egypt in chapter 43 and 44. Isn't it interesting, on Wednesday night, Brother Jerry in his invitation talked to us about Hebrews chapter 11. And those individuals in Hebrews chapter 11 made decisions based off of their faith. They had a lot of things to be concerned about. Noah, who'd never built an ark before, told by God to build an ark, and yet he does. Abraham, told to leave the land that he has grown up in and to go to the land of Canaan that he's never seen, and he does. Told to believe God that he will have a son even when he is 100. And he does. Told to believe that God can still fulfill His promises even when He says, sacrifice your son Isaac on the altar. And yet he lives in faith, not in fear. Moses, who had all of the wealth of Egypt around him, and says, I'm going to give all of that up and to go and live with my people. The life of faith sometimes indeed is the unpleasant choice. As the people themselves admit, they recognize the word from God might be an unpleasant thing. It might be difficult. It might put a strain on our faith. But God calls us to make our decisions based upon faith in Him and not fear in outside forces. The people of Israel failed. The people of Hebrews chapter 11 are praised and applauded by us because their decisions were made in faith. Which of those two examples do we imitate? In Jeremiah 42, the people say all the right things. Jeremiah, there's just a few of us left. We want to inquire of the Lord. That is the first time that has happened in almost the entire book of Jeremiah. One time in Jeremiah, one of the kings, Zedekiah, wants to inquire of the Lord, but he wants to do it privately so that no one knows because he's not really not going to listen. And he doesn't want to get in trouble with other people because he knows that everyone else, all of his advisors, don't want him to inquire of the Lord. And so this is a shift for the people. They're inquiring of God. They say in verse 6, we know it might be difficult to obey the Lord, but we're going to do it. And so Jeremiah, no holds barred, presents the message, the whole message, to them in Jeremiah 42. They said all the right things. And yet when the time came, they weren't willing to submit to the will of the Lord. Maybe they just assumed that God was going to say, go down to Egypt, that's the best choice. I don't know. But when given the clear message of the Lord, they say, well, we're not going to listen to that. And finally in chapter 44 and verse 16, they say, we're just not going to listen to God's word, period. Finally, their true heart and their true desires are shown. And I tell you, it is a reminder that we can say all of the right things, and yet when it comes down to it, it is really difficult to put aside what I want to obey what God has said. And we can be down on the people of Jeremiah, and quite frankly, there's not a lot of positive said about the people in the book of Jeremiah. But I sure can see myself in what the people say at the beginning of chapter 42 and how they act in chapter 43 through 44. It is easy to say, oh, we're going to obey God. Oh, it doesn't matter whether it is pleasant or unpleasant. I tell you, our faith is just so strong. Whatever God says, we're going to obey. No questions asked, no holds barred. We just want God's word. And then when it comes time to act, well, yeah, but this is what we really wanted to do all along. And so it's just a lot easier to do what our heart has desired all along and not listen to what God has said. And it is interesting that the people at the beginning of chapter 43 come up with excuses for why they don't need to follow God's word. Notice again, 42 and verse 19, 42 and verse 22, the message from God is clear. There's really no wiggle room here. This is what God has said. They know what God has said. But in chapter 43 and verse 2, you're lying to us. You're not. You didn't live up to your end of the bargain. You didn't really tell us all that God has said. Oh, it's because of Baruch. He's inciting you against us because he wants to get an upper hand politically and hand us over to the Chaldeans. That's the reason you're doing all of this. It's a good thing that we would never disobey God and then come up with excuses why we were allowed to disobey. It's a good thing that that's just an attitude that existed back in the Old Testament among the nation of Israel, and that God's people don't have that problem today. It's a good thing that we would never justify our own mistakes, but that we would always freely admit where we were wrong and correct ourselves immediately. From the first sin, man has made excuses for his sin. And that is a problem that it persists to today. It is much easier just to do what you want and then find the justification later. That's what they do here in Jeremiah 42 through 44. And I imagine if we're honest, that's what many of us have done at certain points in our life. Do we really have the attitude of Jeremiah 42 that we want to hear God's word? We want to hear all of God's word, nothing held back. And that whatever it demands of us, we're going to follow it. Or are those things that we just say to make ourselves look good? Because when it came down to it in chapter 42 through 44, this was just lip service. It sounded good, but they had no intention of really keeping God's word. And if we're honest with ourselves, we can fall into the same trap today. Let us be diligent to follow the example not of the Israelites, but of our Lord. And not your will be done. Not my will be done, but yours be done. You know, one of the things that really startles me about these particular chapters is that there was a lot of lessons that Israel was supposed to learn from the captivity. And you can read throughout the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah gives them several examples of lessons that they are supposed to learn from the captivity. For example, in chapter 42, in verses 10 through 12, which we looked at, they are to trust God's leading and His guidance. In Jeremiah 17, they are to learn to keep the Sabbath day. One of the reasons that they go into captivity is because their failure to observe the Sabbath day. Of course, not the only reason, but that's one of them. Continually throughout the book of Jeremiah, as well as Jeremiah 44, 1 through 10, urges the people to forsake idolatry. Those are just a sampling of some of the lessons that they're supposed to learn from the captivity. And yet in Jeremiah chapter 44, in verses 16 through 19, I want you to hear what lessons that they learned from captivity. In Jeremiah 44, in verses 16 through 19, it says, "As for the message that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we are not going to listen to you. But rather, we will certainly carry out every word that has proceeded from our mouths by burning sacrifices to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings for her. Just as we ourselves, our forefathers, our kings, our princes, did in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food and were well off and saw no misfortune. But since we stopped burning sacrifices to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything and we have met our end by sword and by famine. And the women said, when we were burning sacrifices to the Queen of Heaven and were pouring out drink offerings to her, was it without our husbands that we made for her sacrificial cakes in her image and poured out drink offerings for her?" What is interesting is earlier in the chapter, Jeremiah tells the people, you should have learned from the mistakes of your past and not worshiped idols, because worshiping idols led to your judgment. And here they say, you know what lesson we've learned? We didn't worship those idols with the vigor that we should have. How do you get there? where you are so confused that that is your takeaway from all of these events. They learned all of the wrong lessons, rejected all of the lessons of the prophet, and said to their own demise, this is what we will continue to do. Every situation is an opportunity for us to learn and to grow. And I'm certainly not a prophet, but I think when you look at this situation of what we have gone through in America in the last couple of months with this particular virus, there are certainly lessons that God wants us to learn. Now again, I'm not a prophet, and so I'm going to offer a few suggestions of perhaps some lessons, tentatively, that God perhaps can be teaching us. But again, I'm not a prophet. I'm just making these suggestions as I've reflected on them. Perhaps God wants us to learn that our plans must be made with Him in mind. James 4:13-17. I don't know about you, but a lot of plans have been canceled recently. a lot of things that on the docket that aren't on the docket anymore. Maybe God is reminding us that when we make plans, we make plans with Him in mind.
Amen.
If the Lord wills, we will do this and do that. Perhaps God is teaching us that we were too busy and we need to prioritize our time better. Isn't it amazing that certain things that we thought we would never cancel this year, we canceled because of the virus? Maybe God is showing us that we need to prioritize our time a little bit better. Perhaps, and I know I've personally been guilty of this, we have taken for granted our ability to be able to assemble together and worship together. We always viewed that as being able to be an option. I'm thankful that we have been able to continue to meet outdoors, and I'm thankful that Byron and Kelly have opened their yard to us to be able to do that. But you know, it hasn't been the same on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And perhaps we needed a reminder not to take for granted our worshiping and assembling together, and to remember what a blessing that is. Perhaps God is reminding us that we need each other. I don't know about you, but I have about had it with all of this isolation. There has been a few points where I felt like I was about to go insane. Isolation is not the way man was meant to live. Maybe God is reminding us just how much we need one another, and that we must rely on one another. Maybe God is reminding us that we need to work through our differences with more patience and more graciousness. You know, we have always tried to be people who follow God's word carefully. But you know, when a virus sweeps throughout the world, this is how you handle it in Scripture. And it doesn't take long to run into differences of opinion on how everything needs to be handled. And maybe while God is reminding us that we need each other, He's also reminding us that we need to work together our differences with more patience and more graciousness. With less accusations, with less accusations being thrown at the person that we disagree with. Those are just a few suggestions. I'm sure you could come up with more. And perhaps better ones. But I'm going to leave you with this warning. You know, we can go through these trials and struggles, and we can learn the wrong lesson. That's what happened to Israel in Jeremiah 44:16-19. They said, this is the lesson that we learned, and it was the lesson that led to their death. Again, I am no prophet, and I don't know all that God is trying to teach us through these circumstances. But we need to be careful that we don't learn the wrong lessons and drift away from Him. May God help us to have the heart of Jeremiah 44:42. Whether pleasant or unpleasant, we will listen to the word of the Lord. May God help us to live by faith and not by fear. May God help us that in this circumstance and every circumstance that we learn the right lessons, the good lessons that will lead us closer to Him and more devout in our devotion to Him. Bow with me. O Lord, You are King of kings and You are Lord of lords. You are the great I am. Lord, as we come before You, we ask that You give us the strength to submit to You, that we learn to yield, that we learn to recognize Your plan and Your way is greater and better than ours, that Your wisdom is greater than our wisdom, that we learn to trust and rely on You fuller and deeper each day. Lord, forgive us of our failings. We are so weak and stumble often. Our resistance often seems poor and ineffective. And we need Your strength every moment of the day. Lord, we ask that we learn from our circumstances of life. We learn from the situations that we have faced in this virus. We learn how to draw closer to You in each circumstance that we face. Guide our minds and our thinkings, our heart, that we might learn the true and the good lessons that will set us on the good path towards You. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if there's any in the audience today who needs to make their life right with the Lord, and if we can help you accomplish that in any way, we urge you, come forward as we stand and sing.